Walter Latham. I'm your host, and I'm joined by your co-host, Michelle Sweeney McComb. And how are you today, Michelle?
I'm fine, thank you. How you doing, Walter? It's hot.
It's hot, but I tell you, I think it's getting hotter down in with these midterm elections coming.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's going to be a hot.
Voting.
Yeah. It's going to be hot in February. I'm telling you, you know.
Right. I mean, we had that. I think, you know, every couple of years it happens that way.
Mm-hmm. But this time is different. I mean, this is unique in a sense. And I've been calling this out for a while. And the name of this episode is The Great Replacement Theory. And I named it that because you have a lot of white people, and this was cited by the guy that killed the people up in Buffalo and by another one of these white supremacists. You know, this is one of their top, you know, conspiracy theories that everybody's trying to replace them. Okay. Mm-hmm. They want to be the majority. This is a white country. Ergo, they should be the majority of this country. Right. But they see that majority fading away. What do they say? Mm-hmm. By 2050, the whites will no longer be the majority of this country. It'll be the brown folks.
Might be less than that.
You know, and I think really, and you don't have to be a Trumper, I don't think, to believe that this country should be a white country. I think you got some middle of the road white folks that think that too.
Right. You sure do. Sure do.
They're quiet. Right? Yeah. They're quiet, but they're voting for Trump. Yeah.
especially
with these races going on now.
Yeah, they're just staying under the radar.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's a lot going on in this country. And, you know, we could go back to, you know, the Roe versus Wade with, you know, abortion, all of that is all linked into it with them wanting to not have their race non-existing.
I don't know. Yeah, because I think
the real statistics of it, you know, a lot of those girls, you know, white girls are having abortions and stuff because they, you know, and those are undercover abortions. You know, those rich people, those college girls are doing it.
Oh, yeah.
They're starting to see that, you know, and you're forcing, you know, it depends on the situation and the circumstances. They just had something where a young lady, they took her to another state because she was raped, 13 years old. You know, I just feel like you shouldn't be able to tell people what to do with their lives. But that goes on to what you're saying at the beginning, that their race is going to, you know, like what race is pure race now, you know? And I just don't like the fact that you say race. We're the human race. We're one race. But to categorize everyone by color, it's crazy because everybody's mixed. Everybody's mixed with something.
You know, they didn't use that. They didn't use race prior to slavery. Race came about just prior to slavery, the introduction of slavery.
Wow.
You were either Arab or you're European. They didn't say black, white, you know, race this, race that.
Right.
And basically, it's a new categorization if you look at it from a historic perspective.
Really?
You were either from this tribe or not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You spoke this language or not.
Not by color. Not by color.
Right. All right. Y'all guys, if you're listening, fact check me. But I do want to go into a little bit of what this great replacement theory is and why should we care? Why should we care about it?
Right.
Okay. You know, America is struggling with its reasoning and some responses to population replacement because that's the underlying issue. And I think I've mentioned this many, many times that the underlying issue pre-Donald Trump was the fact that there's a main line that runs under this country that states that we own this country. This is a white country. It's an extension of the European, European continent of the Europeans. We are European.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Great Replacement Theory, like a lot of different demographic issues. The population of America's population has become like, you know, highly politicized. That's why you got Republicans, all of them marching to the same tune, whether deep inside they care about it or not. Hmm. All right. It's division. That's it.
That's
okay.
It. It's always been that way.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they promote this. So the great replacement theory is we are losing our country, a white country, and giving it up to non-whites. So maybe something in the back of their mind, and I say this in jest, but I think it's true in a lot of cases. Maybe they're saying, damn, we're going to be the next Native Americans to get wiped out over here.
Right, right. Yeah, it could happen. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. They wiped them out, so it's your turn now.
Yeah, they figure that's a process. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
You come in, you lay roots, you grow, you start taking and building and buying land and getting jobs and this and that.
Exactly.
Next thing you know, your ass is out the door.
Your ass is out too.
That's right. They kill you then.
You repeat yourself. Now it's your turn. That's the difference.
Right.
Wow.
And then, also, there's always been this thought, from white supremacists that there would be a race war. But what they did was they substituted race war or genocide mm-hmm. with this replacement theory.
Right.
This conspiracy. All right, it sounds a little bit more gentler. But, I mean, the underlying is if when there is a war, civil war, which I do, in fact, believe there will be, because for other reasons, number one, they're trying to take away our right to vote as minorities.
Yes.
So that it won't count. So then you have no voice.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So instead of saying, okay, you know, we can't take them out that way, genocide.
Right.
That means you kill them all. Mm. And you know what I heard too, Michelle?
Yes.
They went, yes. And this is something that was posited by a guy. I think I may have heard on TikTok the guy was talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Believe it or not. Right? I forgot his name. I can't give him credit. But he was saying, okay, suppose there was a war, a civil war. Now, the United States has 2.2 million men in the military.
Right.
They got about 450,000 men in their law offices, including the FBI, police, and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
But Trump's people, if you look at Trump's people, which is about, they say, like 30% or, 20 to 30%. I'm guessing on that number, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these, they've been arming for years. They have semi-automatic, you know, AK-47, they got bunkers, they got shelters, they got all this kind of stuff.
Right.
Even if you take 10% of them, you got 20 million people. Now, how can the U.S. Army, military, and cops protect us?
Right. They can't.
No, they can't.
They can't.
You're on your own.
Sure.
And that's not to count the ones that, you know, the Trump people and the ones that are believers that are in the military. Yeah.
That's true,
yeah.
Walter. That is true.
And this guy, what is this guy's name? Lloyd, he's the head of the Joint Chiefs. Mm-hmm. He wanted to implement a purge, meaning try to get these white supremacists out of the military. They killed that.
Right. They sure did. So what do you think now is going to happen? I mean,
well, I'm my hopes go out to the midterm elections, because you heard that Liz Cheney lost her primary.
Oh yes,
down in Arizona by a big margin,
right?
A landslide,
yeah. Right.
She got kicked out. She lost mm-hmm. to someone that Trump backed, someone named Harriet Hagman.
Oh really?
Yeah, this is the Wyoming U.S. House primary.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Oh, wow.
Liz Cheney lost big, too, in mm-hmm. her district.
Wow.
Okay. So, you know, right now, you got senators. We got 100 senators, right? So, we got 49 mm-hmm. Democrats, three liberals, and 50 Republicans.
Okay. Wow.
And they're stopping everything.
Yeah, they are.
They're stopping everything.
Those are old Proud Boys. They think a certain way, you know. The U.S. history, you know, our government history, the mentality is still in the same position. I just feel like some of these people, you know, they should have caps on, you know, how long you can be in office. you know, how, who could run for president. They don't have any caps. They don't have any rules and regulations. It's so much harder to get a job at McDonald's. It's so easy to get to become president. You know, they don't have any qualifications, no hard qualifications to become a president, and they just need a cap on it. Like, these are old Proud Boys in the 80s and 90s still making decisions with that same mentality that they have when, you know, slavery was in effect. You know, we didn't have civil rights at that time. They still think like that. So they should just have, to me, you shouldn't be in this position for the rest of your life. Like, I think that's ridiculous. Your thinking is different. Like, you don't, like, I don't understand. They don't think.
But then, on the other side of the coin, Michelle, I didn't mean to cut you off, but on the other side of the coin, these candidates that Trump is picking against the, you know, the incumbents, these are not qualified folks, and they're winning.
No. Right. So and the mentality of the people that are voting for him.
Right. And the ones that he endorsed also support him in the fact that the election was a fake. It was a fraud.
Exactly. They definitely.
And he really, really won. And that's what these people are running on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. They're running with it. Now, come on. Numbers don't lie. He was just pissed off because he's a sore loser. You know,
that's it. That is the thing.
He can't afford to lose. He was running his country like he ran his damn show, The Apprentice. You know,
yeah.
He was not qualified to be someone in a high position like that. He's a narcissist. That's another thing. Being a narcissist, you know, you're just, and it's like a game to him. You know, just like what he does with his real estate and properties, it's like a game to him. You know, he's chasing things, he conquers it, and then he goes on to the next. You know, it's not something that he takes seriously. He's not a people person. So he can't, you know, think like we do, the average person, because all he knows is how to, you know, get over, how to evade taxes, how to, you know, evade these mortgages that I'm getting locked into. He knows how to get around things. So you can't have someone with that mindset running a country for us. He can't speak for us.
Yeah, but I think you're speaking in the past, because the things that are happening to our country now, it's just amazing.
Just like that. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Amazing. It's amazing. So what do you think about now with him, with this FBI stuff, and now they got Giuliani in court?
Oh, yeah. Looking at Giuliani, you know, Giuliani going down to Georgia, they made him go. He's talking about, yeah, you know, he's incapacitated. They said, you got to go. You catch a train. They don't care. So I think he was questioned today on the oath. All right. But then also, don't forget, they got another one where in, you know, our state attorney, Letitia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Is suing them, you know, for corporate malfeasance or corporate fraud tax.
Right.
Well, actually taxes.
Right. Right.
I know I see here that one Trump executive, one big guy, mm-hmm, all right, plead guilty to 15 felonies in the tax scheme.
Really?
With the Trump organization being on the other side of the deals.
Mm. They didn't think that would catch up to them eventually? Because they've been, Giuliani and Trump has been close for years, since the 70s, they go back.
Yeah,
Disrupting and conning and scheming and, well, you know, everything that they have done, they've always done it together. They backed each other. And to me, you know, like Manchurian Candidate, they prep these people for certain things. You go through stages. Like, you know, the Central Park Five, they were involved with that at the time. Giuliani was a prosecutor or whatever he was. And he was part of that. There was also an article, front page article with Trump on it, giving the award to, you know, convict them, you know, give them the chair, you know, $50,000. You know, they had to convict someone, but that conviction led Giuliani to his next phase, right? So you got to convict somebody, whether they're innocent or not. So that's all political to me. Like, everything has something to do with politics. It takes you to the next level. But that's the game they've always played. So, but now that you look at their history, they've been going, doing this shit for over 30, 40 years. And it's finally catching up to them. And I hope It does. I hope it does, because they've hurt a lot of people in the process.
Yeah, yeah. They always say, you know, what's dark now will eventually come to light, right? I think it's something to that effect. I may not quoted that properly,
exactly,
but something to that effect.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly correct.
And that's what's happening. That's what's happening with Trump. The thing is, you know, I mean, they, with this Mar-a-Lago, you know, warrant, this search that you were mentioning. Yeah, with these documents. That's another one, a totally different case, because that had to do with the archives and the rules around the executive branch. Right.
Yes. Yes. Removing those documents and keeping
them. Why would he? Yeah.
Why would he do that? But I think that doesn't that have to do with when they were investigating him and they were saying that he was controlling the FBI while he was in office and they wouldn't let certain things be released and he took them out of there so they wouldn't see. Like, this is worse than Nixon.
Oh, way past Nixon. He has more strength than Nixon.
Because but at least they got Nixon ass. Like, what is the delay with this dude? Like, why is it not easy to get him? You have all the evidence you need. And they said it has something to do with the insurrection, no?
Well, see, that's what the House committee is working on. Mm. All right. That's been up and running for four months or whatever.
Right.
Being led by Liz Cheney. She's one of two Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she lost re-election. All right.
Because
she's on that committee.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, you call out Trump, you call him out, you know, he has tremendous support and people are shaking in their knees, you know, in their boots, rather.
He's the most famous
person. Rather than go against him. You know, you gotta respect people like this guy from I think it was from Arizona, or wherever Republican senator that voted for for Trump to be impeached. But he said it when he said that. Right behind that, he said, "I'm not running for the next election," because he knew that his district didn't like him taking that position.
Right, exactly.
It's the people that vote for you. They are a reflection of the people that vote for them.
Definitely.
Okay? If you're not white and Christian, all right, and on our side and march to our tomb, forget about it. I mean, you can be black and Christian. Look at the guy out of South Carolina.
Right?
Just totally. And then, what was this guy, Herschel Walker? You heard about him running? He was endorsed by Trump? You got Herschel Walker. But this is, let's get back to these documents for this raid of Mar-a-Lago, Trump's house, and the stuff that they took. All right. First, you know, they said that they asked the Trump people for it. These documents, they had to go to the archives, which is normal, you know, it's a routine thing, all right, when you change presidents. They asked for it back in the spring, and then they sent them a subpoena. And normally they wouldn't send a subpoena because the subpoena lays out what they're looking for, which gives you a chance to go and hide things. That's why they want the warrant, and they said, well, why don't you do the subpoena? Subpoena gives you lead time, the defendant lead time, or the target lead
time. The lawyer forewarned him. That's why he left. So the lawyer was there, but he wasn't, because if he's there, legally they have to put him in. He has to be arrested during the raid.
And that's why cuff walk him.
Left.
Yeah.
Right, they would cuff him. Yeah. And he's like, you're not going to get me. You're not going to put those pictures of me out there. Like, somebody will take a photo of that one. But he knew he had to get out of there before they got there.
He wasn't with Letitia that day, was he?
I don't know.
Well, he took the fifth.
He did.
Fifth all the way. Everything. And for like 4 hours or 6 hours or whatever time. It was a long time he was taking the fifth.
Yeah, Orange Man, your time is coming. It's really coming.
You know,
who do you think ratted him out, though? Because they were saying something about one of his children.
Yeah, someone. That's why they don't want to turn over There's a document that the Trump people want. Is it the affidavit? I think it's the affidavit. And the affidavit lays out, you know, who the potential person, what documents are there.
Oh, so that's why the son was saying something about a letter he
right.
wrote that they wanted. It
right.
was a letter he wrote to his father. But the daughter is like out of the picture. Like she doesn't want anything to do with this mess.
None of them do.
They were saying that, you know, she was using the campaign funds for something. Whatever happened to that? Like, you know, everything, they mention it and then you don't hear anything else about it. Like,
well, you got me because Trump, I mean, I even told my wife, I said, they're putting too much air in the balloon for Trump. They should just drop coverage and do everything, right. You know, continue to do the work.
Like Leticia is. Yeah, Leticia's not out there broadcasting what they're doing. So, but the FBI is different. That was something, you know, you couldn't avoid, you know.
The FBI was just following orders. Now they got all these threats against the FBI. And Trump, what did he say? He wants the white supremacists and these people threatening the FBI. You know, you bring the temperature down. He didn't say stop.
Right, he's careful with his words because he doesn't want it to stop. That's why.
That's what I'm saying. He planned it. He's planned it. He planned it right down the middle.
Yeah, of course. He didn't. That's like he wouldn't give the call for them to stop at the insurrection. He never did it. He never made the phone call for extra security to come in. He knew it was happening. He wanted it to happen. Shit, Mike Pence was there. And then you don't impeach this guy knowing he tried to kill you all? These people could have killed them.
You know what I heard today? Mm-hmm. I heard today along those same lines, the January 6th committee that I meant earlier, that Liz Cheney was one of the leaders of.
Right.
Okay. Mike Pence wants to testify. He said he wouldn't decline an invitation to testify in front of the January 6th committee.
He looked like he was, he really didn't look like he wanted to be vice president anymore. He was just existing. I think that guy knew a lot of stuff. He did not agree with a lot of stuff that Trump was doing. That's why Trump knew he was there. Get him too. Get his ass too. Because he turned on me as well. Mike Pence was a, you know, just there. I didn't even really think he had any real power. He didn't even step up to do anything. Well, you couldn't go against Trump.
Well, I mean, Mike Pence may be one of those ultra conservative Christians, but I think the man believed in the Bible, you know, in the teachings. Mm-hmm. He didn't go against it, I don't think. Now, I have no way to be, you know, totally 100%. But Trump put the word out to hang him.
Mm-hmm. He probably see, you know, you're wrong. This is not right.
That's what I'm saying.
You never know what happened behind closed doors because I'm sure this guy has some humanity. Like, there's no way he could have agreed with everything Trump was doing.
No, but when it came down to overthrowing the election, that's democracy. And he wasn't going to be the one to do that.
He wasn't going
to. It took a lot of, you know, a lot of bravery on his side to do that.
Definitely. Definitely. Of course. Of course. And that's why they were taking him out, too. They were. Yeah. They actually, remember they were in Pelosi's office. Their feet up. They had guns. What do you think these people were going to do with these?
They had a noose hanging outside for Mike Pence. They were looking for Mike Pence.
The thing that annoyed me the most, if that was a black crowd, they would have never gotten anywhere near that place. They would have had snipers on the roof taking people out.
They would have been a mile away from there. They couldn't have gotten within a mile perimeter.
Exactly. No.
But we know that.
Where was all the security at? It was planned.
Yeah, definitely. but we know that, Michelle, because every we overturn. Look what we've been finding on this podcast when we're doing research for this podcast. Look at all the stuff that we've been finding that we didn't know about.
Well, look at the torment Obama had to go through. He wasn't a citizen. Come on, like that was he kept running with that Trump kept running with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not a full American either. You have Russian relatives. You look where your history comes from. But it was okay because he's white.
Yeah, but you know what is another killer that we didn't mention with Trump's ego? Mm-hmm. Was the fact that President Obama had two terms and he only had one.
Right. He won. You know, his whole time in office was reversing everything Obama did. He really didn't accomplish a damn thing. Nothing. But he wasn't going to let this Negro outdo him, basically.
And he did. Because the way it's saying, he did. He had two terms.
Yeah.
Right. He probably could have beat him a third term.
Right. You will never be the man he was. Never. Never.
I don't know. But, you know, it's just so many. You know, Trump, I really hate to talk about. I think I stopped talking about him.
About
a year ago, last summer. I didn't want to hear anything about Trump. I know you didn't either.
But he doesn't go away. It's just like,
he doesn't go away. It's just like when he got elected, and I was very, very upset. You know, but I said to myself, okay, he won, and let him do his time. Right. You know, but you couldn't ignore the guy. The guy was texting every day.
Did. His presence was always there. Yeah.
Just his presence.
Like a black cloud that never goes away. Yeah.
Right. It started trouble.
Yeah, just making sure I'm here, you know.
You know, the guy sent out one thing that really ticked me off. Well, two things. When they sent out a stimulus check, his signature was on it.
Yes.
The letter coming out of his pocket.
Man, that's what I said.
You know?
Can you imagine? Treasury or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Because what did the Social Security checks has what? The U.S. Treasury?
I think it's the Secretary of the Treasury, the current.
Yeah, why is his that? Like, he's not giving, this is like him giving his personal.
Yeah, is he? He's giving the money out.
I was like, nah, that's.
I was mad. I was,
you know,
I mean,
Lyle
really.
Never, ever used that money. He always saved it because he's like, I don't trust this shit.
Well, I know he snapshot that thing. Hopefully he put it in the bank.
Course.
You know, he snapshot.
Yeah, it was direct deposited, but he left it in the savings. He's like, I don't trust it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second thing was the emergency response system where they notify all the citizens on your cell phone, the tests. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a notification of a catastrophe or anything. They got a test. So I'm on a golf course and I'm playing with a couple of other people. They were Trumpers. Mm-hmm. I knew it, but I never said anything. Mm-hmm. I don't care. But it's from President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is a test of our emergency response system, blah, 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 blah. Why is it coming from him?
Right.
To my phone.
It's not out of your, right. Wow.
Yeah, to my phone. And I heard the white guys, as like I said, I did predicate that with the fact that they were Trumpers. And I knew it doesn't, I don't care when it comes to golf. It's all right. All right. The white guys said, oh, I bet they're going to complain about that now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard them. They were talking to me. I heard them, you know, from a distance. Like, yeah, just because Trump's name up there, somebody going to be complaining. I'm not blaming. Well, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to play all day because I've been too mad. So, I mean, they justify everything for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Cover it up. Make, you know, just pass it off, you know, like it's nothing. But if I was a black person, it would have. I don't even think he would have got into office with having a wife with porno pictures and magazines. They would have never made it that far. And then you got lawsuits while you're running for office for president. You have lawsuits, you're paying off these women. Like that would have never happened with a Democrat. Never.
No, it would never happen with a Democrat.
But at the end of the day, they didn't step up to the plate with Republicans. At the end of the day, look at all the clowns they had running for office against Obama. Look at all of the people that they had. I don't really think Trump, I think he just did that for an ego thing. I don't really think he expected to win, to be honest. I really don't. But I'm like, why is he running? For what?
He's running again.
Spam. Right. He's now he is again. Because he's in a game. He won. He probably didn't think he would win. He'd be like, brush it off. It's something I want to conquer. I defeated it. That's that. And now he's angry because The second time you ran, you didn't win. You didn't right. win. Now you're mad. You're pissed off.
Yeah, and he lost that. He lost the House and he lost the Congress. Right.
He did. Right. Now he's pissed off. And the fact that, look, if you look at the whole picture, look at Epstein, the guy that got killed. He didn't kill himself in jail. They had too much on those Republicans. And I think that Trump knew of a lot about all of these Trump, you know, these Republicans with their secrets. You know, he has pictures with Epstein from the 70s with these young girls. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of those Republicans, yeah. a lot of this shit is linked. So those Republicans didn't want to impeach him because if they didn't impeach him, all their shit was going to come out. Because why on earth would you not impeach this man? They tried to kill you. And you had evidence of it. Evidence, recordings, video. He was on Twitter with it. His speech told him all to go over. Like, what more evidence did you need? And that's what I think, that he had a lot on them. He had a lot on those Republicans. And Epstein probably, you know, gave, you know, a lot of these young girls when they have those conventions and stuff like that. I'm sure there's a lot of evidence of a lot of those Republicans doing things they weren't supposed to be doing. And it caught up to them, and now you got to return that favor. Because how could you not impeach this man, knowing all of these things?
Well, the thing wow. Is that the thing is, Trump, all he had to do is say, I didn't do it. And then that's it.
Right.
And you take right. 5 years to try to prove it.
Right.
And that he's when it comes to stuff like that, Trump, remember, what's that? What was that Gambino crime family? The mafia guy used to walk down the street, you know, like, you know, the hair all cut nice and stuff. They used to call him Teflon Don.
Mm-hmm.
You remember him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, how they used to try him all the time and they would fail. He would be innocent. And then he kept talking trash. And then they finally got him and his ass died in prison. They finally got the Teflon Don.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. They sure did. They sure did. And he died in jail.
He died in prison. They got him. And same thing I see. I see, but the thing is, if it doesn't happen quickly, and I'm just afraid of a civil war because they're voting to take away our rights to vote. What they want to do is, I mean, whichever way they want to do it, it's all about the majority that we have in this country when it comes to the right to vote. All right? That's why you see them messing around with the, what do you call those? The delegates.
Mm-hmm.
Appointed.
Yes.
Each state can appoint their own delegates and they control. They can say, well, we don't like the results of this. We think this is not good. So therefore, this person should win versus that person based on our investigation. That's what they're doing now. They're putting that in place.
Right.
So yeah. You're talking, I mean, I'm not talking like New York. I'm talking about right. those 26 yeah. other states that are, you know, either red states mm-hmm. or purple mm-hmm. states. They can just cut out the vote, just throw it out and say,
right.
It didn't look funny. This voting precinct, their count was off, or the technology that they used, Dominion, was right. not working properly, or these votes right. were late.
Right.
There's a discrepancy. Right. So they make a decision.
Wow.
Right. So a president being elected, the president is anointed, and that's by right. the Republican Party.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But, you know, it's going to be interesting the next couple of months, though. That's for sure.
Well, with the abortions and all these things that we've seen and observed, if Republicans, I expect them to win in the South, certain states.
Mm-hmm.
But right. you see them winning in Pennsylvania and all these other, mm-hmm. especially with the abortion.
Right, exactly. That's a big issue, you know. That's a big issue because how do you reverse something? What else are they going to reverse? You know, I kind of feel like if you can reverse something that was 50 years old and these white men, these white Republicans are telling you what to do with your body, right? Next is going to be civil rights. Next is going to be slavery. Like, I mean, how do you?
I thought about that too.
And why aren't these laws in place where you can't reverse them? Why is there opportunity to reverse them? Right.
Well,
isn't there stipulations in there? This is fine. You can't, you know, you can't edit this. You can't, you know, it's a law. It'll never change. Like, why can't they do that? Why do you have these laws where you have opportunity to change or enhance or make it what you feel like it should be?
Well, I think I can speak to the gay rights Roe v. Wade. Because Roe v. Wade was never a law per se. It was decided in the courts as being constitutional. Mm-hmm. And that's an interpretation of Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It wasn't codified, meaning, you know, in Congress, voted on by Congress. It was never done. That was never done.
See.
Okay.
So all
right. Someone sued and said, well, yeah, I can't write. Okay. But when it comes to the right for same-sex marriage, I got to go back and check to see where that falls under.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whether was that a legal case, you know, that was settled at the Supreme Court?
Right.
Was it codified? Was it written? Or does it how, you know, some laws have to go to the states and be voted on by individuals in the state.
Right.
Just like which was it, Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kansas, they put Roe v. Wade or abortion versus anti-abortion on the ballot, and abortion rights won. There was a landslide victory of the people voting to keep their right to abortion.
Wow.
A couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And that scared Republicans.
So if it doesn't come from the highest court, it can always be amended.
Right, because the highest court only makes a decision and then they use the Constitution to help them come to some type of conclusion.
Right.
As to the right or wrong of a particular issue, per se.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
All right, that's why,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
Donald Trump, that's why we want all these corner reports, they got all these conservatives on the court.
Yes.
We got, you know, you got a liberal issue going up before them.
Right, right.
Yeah, it can go the opposite direction.
Crazy.
That yeah.
Means, you know, you got to look at all the other laws that they have in place that can't be amended. You know, that if they even think about it, you know, trying to amend something, it could happen. Just like this. Just like this.
Yeah, that's something that we want to dwell down on, too. You know, what constitutes a law and what constitutes precedence.
Right.
Because the Supreme Court is setting precedence. Roe v. Wade was a precedence. It was not a law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It was a decision that was made by the courts, you know, 50 years ago, whatever.
Right.
All right. So it wasn't a law. So precedents can be basically, you know, overturned or whatever, not overturned, but a new precedence can be set.
Right.
Based on interpretation of the current judges in there.
Mm-hmm.
But normally they would say, well, this is precedence. Precedent was set 50 years ago. So why are we, you know, overturning?
Right.
Roe v. Wade at this time. But you had conservative judges in there.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah, that's why. Absolutely.
People that still think the same from 50 years
absolutely.
Ago.
Absolutely.
Mad that it was passed, you know. You had a lot of women rights organizations back then as well when they had set those laws. So they pushed it, they got it, but, you know, it was temporary, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
The temporary fix to shut you up because they know down the line they're going to change it again. So
yeah.
You know, sometimes you know back then they just take something, you know, like civil rights. You know, they give you an inch. You know, that's it. They'll just give you a little bit, and because they know, yeah, let's just satisfy them for now, shut them up. But later on, we're going to change it. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
regardless
if those people are still around, and they are still around, because look at them. Some of them same people that helped make that law 50 years ago are still here. So, and they could reverse it. Obviously, you know, that's something that, you know, people need to be aware of, that things can change, you know. They have more
they're
going to
have a fight on their hands if the Republicans take control. You know, the first thing the Republicans got in their mind is they're going to start reversing things.
Oh,
they're going to start challenging everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look at the what Trump said. He was at least one thing I could say. At least he was forward with his shit. You know, he didn't hide his shit. He was like, "Make America great again." And what does that mean? The forefathers. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. If you know your history, they want to go back to slavery, keep us in our place. You know, because when that was over, what did you go into? The Civil Rights Act, right? Well, slavery was over, you went into lynching. We didn't have any rights, right? They just threw us out there, gave you your freedom, threw you out there with nothing. They didn't give you your 40 acres and your mill, nothing. You had nothing to go on unless your slave master gave you that land that you were born on, and you worked on, unless they gave you that in your family. But what did we have as soon as slavery was over? We had nothing, right?
That's
and
right.
They were killing us, you know, hanging us, lynching us. You know, then they started, you know, the civil rights movement. You know, things happened back in the 40s, but those weren't recognized until, you know, Rosa Parks. But there was somebody before Rosa Parks. But
Emmett Till.
Right. No, I mean, there was another woman on the bus that didn't get off the bus before Rosa Parks. Okay. But they didn't feel like, you know, she was a darker woman. And we discriminated against each other, too. They didn't want to take that case. But when it happened to Rosa Parks, because Rosa Parks looked mixed, right? She wasn't like a full black woman. She didn't look
African-American, right?
They took her on because she was also educated, right? She was a school teacher. I think her husband was a lawyer or something like that. And they were connected to the civil rights movement. So things, you know, it wasn't the right time. You know, certain things had to have a time frame in order. It wasn't the right time. You know, Martin Luther King was born before his time. You know, just things like that. So, you know, just to say that, you know, everything has its time and place, right? They'll give you an inch. They'll give you a little bit. You know, even when Martin signed had, who was it? Johnson, when he signed the civil rights law and stuff like that, they said he couldn't stand Martin Luther King. They have that, you know, that.
No, yeah, that was the pressure photo. Coming from, right.
But they had that historical photo of them with him signing for the civil rights thing. He didn't want to do it. But the pressure of it, he had no choice. Because this is not right. This is not human. This is not human.
Yeah, the Vietnam War also added pressure.
It added a lot to it when they went, you know, and that's why Kennedy was killed. It was a lot. It has a lot to do with it. You know, he didn't want to, you know, saying no to the mob. You know, then he had Castro in that era too. You know, this man wants civil rights. He wants equal rights. No, we're not ready for that. You got to go. Just like Martin Luther King. You got to go. We're not ready for these things. But everything is always politics, unfortunately.
You know, that reminds me of what we used to say when we had the panel. Some of the earlier shows, and we would say, you know, what's the solution to, you know, the Black American problem? Mm-hmm. And we always concluded that it was a lack of a leader.
Yes.
Okay. Trump mm-hmm. is a leader.
Yes.
So he was able to galvanize all these different groups, you know, from the mm-hmm. Proud Boys to this yes. to that. All these white supremacist groups and roll them into one. And then all the people that were not part of these groups, but yet exposed to the beliefs of these white right. supremacists, put them right. all in right. one. So they have a leader.
Right.
All of our leaders got killed. Martin Luther King.
They got killed. And there was a lot of conspiracy. Yeah. Also within our race as well, you know, With Trump being a leader, he had a lot of followers.
That's what I'm saying. They got a leader.
They were organized. You know, in our community, you always had somebody in the background. Yeah, I'm for Martin Luther King, but in the meantime, conspiracy. Like, you're trying to, like, you know, I'll say in the Black Panthers, for instance, right?
Yep, they were leaders.
A lot of people that were in that, but they also had their moles that was planted.
Well, they were planted by the FBI. Yeah.
Yes, that's what right? I said, by the FBI.
That's
same
what they
thing
do.
With Martin, same thing with Malcolm.
They had their mold.
Oh, they had their molds, right? That's just like when they did the insurrection, right? How many blacks did you see there that they planted?
Well,
two or three.
That's the
two
thing.
Three,
they could be
right?
they try to plant with the white. They need to right. blend in. Just like with the KKK, at one time they were supposedly.
Yeah.
You have to have, to get your intelligence, you have to have someone that looks like them.
All right. Of course. That's just so, like, you know, the marches that we have with Black Lives Matter. They have moles in them. You know, they put them out there, and then they were saying, oh, they're violent. And then when they started doing their research and their videos and stuff that people don't want to believe, it's those white people throwing those bricks and starting it up.
Well, that's what they're saying about the January 6th resurrection, like you said.
Yes.
Is that they're blaming the FBI for the moles doing all the dirty stuff.
That was a lot of moles.
And that they reversed it. See how tricky they are? They reversed it.
That was a lot of moles, though. Like, it can't be every. All of those people were doing stuff. They were all moles then?
So
That was a lot.
I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, the audience realizes this, but if you don't, you know, we'd like to bring these things up to you, your attention.
Definitely.
So that you could, you know, say, and just think on it a little bit, you know, see how you feel about it.
Right.
You know.
Make your own assumptions, you know, look at the evidence, look at the video.
We get out and
make your own assumption.
Based on what you see out there, not from one source, you know, there's, you know, never go to one source for anything. You know, I try not to. I try to look at multiple sources for things that I do. I can't tell you how you do your thing. You can use TikTok, you know, and that's not to say that TikTok is full of nonsense. And there's some true stuff that hits TikTok.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And
it does.
It give people a platform, you know what I mean? So you can see things from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I would, right? But, you know, we had a major donor that I did not give props to. Her name is Sakina Parnum. And she's out of Long Island. Awesome. And she gave to the Walt Weekly in response to our email blast. And now, let me just clarify the email blast, folks, that I sent out. That we sent out, rather, a few months ago, right, Michelle?
Yes.
All right, and I know a lot of people, when they get these, they go right into your spam, and you think it's, you know. But, you know, we're going to send out another one, and, you know, it's up to you whether you decide. But we're going to have, you know, different tiers, you know. You can give $2 a month. You can give $2 at one time. You can give $1, you know. So, you know, you will be seeing another one. It's not a scam. You know, we've been doing this show, Michelle and I, this is the fourth year. We're in our fourth season,
as we
shared with y'all guys last week. And, you know, we just love trying to get the information out there. Even if we don't get a dime from you, we're going to still try to run this show. Maybe not as sophisticated as other podcasts that you listen to, but
yes, it will help us, you know, with our growth as well, with new technology. You know, you can have monthly subscriptions, you can make a one-time donation the Walt Weekly, and your donations will be also recognized on our show, in our show notes, and on our website as well.
Yeah, and I forgot about Mark Latham, my son. He made a sizable donation. Of course, he's my son.
Yes.
But he didn't make it because he had to. You know, he doesn't live here. He's not in a situation where he's not going to get dinner if he doesn't pay.
Right.
Give me $2. You know what I mean? Right. But, Mark Latham,
who's
the CEO of Latham Photography.
Yes.
And he's doing pretty good out there. So, you know, I want to thank him. I want to thank Dina Ramsey.
Yes.
She's pretty big in Virginia and Eastern North Carolina with her daycare and mental institutions. And who else that gave a big... So we have a lot. I mean, I don't want to sit here and just list people, but I do want to acknowledge them.
Yes.
All right. And we had...
Yeah,
we appreciate them. Just let them know that we do appreciate you. We appreciate y'all guys subscribing. And we were on vacation. We did take a break after 3 years of constant you know, weekly recordings. So we're back now, and we're going to get back on point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. We want a September
revamping.
Break, but
yes.
Yeah. We needed a break, and so we can come back with a new, you know, set of eyes and fresh mind and things like that.
Right. And ideas and topics, definitely.
We got plenty of topics. We got so much damn trouble, and we just hate being. We hate being the bearer of bad news, but everything is not good right now.
Right. Everything is not good. But there's some good in some of it. And we will be sharing that as well.
Michelle will be sharing the good.
Yes.
I say that. I'm just teasing Michelle because every time we go try to look at, you know, we're having a production meeting, we're saying, okay, so what are we going to do this week and these topics and everything is bad, check.
Yes.
And we're looking for some good. Actually, we try to hunt for the good sometimes.
Right.
You know? But, you know, with Michelle's guidance, we will find some good. Yes. And we will be reporting to y'all guys some good.
Yes. We love feedback, so we appreciate our audience that that's tuning in and sharing the podcast. We're looking forward to a lot more shows and putting out a lot more content, definitely.
Yes. And trying to get up there. We're the big boys, not quite, but we're in the right direction. We're headed in the right direction with the right type of technology. You will be seeing a lot more of us visually. Yes. That is the key. Right. You know, visually, whether it be TikTok, Reels, and YouTube, especially
yes.
YouTube.
Right.
Okay. And along with our guests. And guests will be coming back. You got anything else? You want to close it out, Michelle?
No. I'm good now. We've covered everything, sponsorship, new shows coming up. I think we're looking forward to September going off with a blast, coming in with a blast in September. Looking forward to having, you know, some special guests on the show and talking about some important things and the issues in the community as well. So thank you all. You can find us at www.thewaltweekly.com, Instagram and Facebook at The Walt Weekly, Twitter, Walt Weekly, and on all streaming platforms. You can find us on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your local podcast.
Thank you, Michelle. All right. So we'll see y'all guys next time. Have a good one.
See you next time. Thank you.
All righty.